Guys, in your seats, as they told you before, you have a list here. If you need a pen, borrow one from a friend. We need to get quickly going here. Just take any notes, any questions that you have, and you'll be dropping them in the offering buckets at the end of the night. Who likes stories? Who likes stories? Everybody? What's some of your favorite stories? Yell them out. My nanny ran a car through a fence. That sounds like something that was written in Texas. The Hunger Games. So, man, you know, what was it? As I was thinking about the message and you know, in talking with everybody here and the pastors, they were kind of giving me the synopsis of what the next 2 weeks are going to look like for you guys. They told me it's called Let God Write Your Story. And, you know, I love stories. I love writing. All growing up, I enjoyed it. I was part of ready writing and all those different things. And I loved reading. You know, we had the different things where you would go to the library and read the different books and you'd get points. And based off of how many points you would have, you would get cookies or cheesy glasses or, you know, the little, what's the little thing with the ball and you try and catch it that's near impossible? I don't know who invented that. They're fun, but seriously, who made that? So as I was thinking about one of my favorite stories of all time, and you probably have heard it, you've probably seen it, probably read it yourself a few hundred times as I have. It's Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. That was, man, the Holy Spirit spoke to me on that one. You did not know you guys were going to love Oh, the Place You Go that much. So, you know, I started thinking, you know, what makes a great story? What makes a great book? What makes a great author? And, you know, as I thought about this book, I thought, man, I felt limitless whenever I read this book. You know, I looked forward to my future. I looked forward to my life, you know, being, you know, a lot of younger than a lot of you guys. And I said, man, this is awesome. This is me. Man, that's me with the funny little yellow suit on. I said, man, I'm gonna go places, and I just want to read you part of this book and part of my favorite part. It says, "Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be up on your way. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers and soar to great heights. When you won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead." Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. And wherever you go, you will top all the rest. And man, what person doesn't read that and think, man, that's awesome, that's me? So I did a little bit of research. And I thought, man, where is Dr. Seuss getting some of these ideas? And I couldn't help but think that maybe there was something inside of him that maybe God was just dropping little nuggets in his life. Man, oh, the places we'll go. Oh, the places we'll go. So, you know, what makes a good author? You know, what makes Dr. Seuss such a great author? What makes him one of the greatest children's authors of all time? You know, he studied. He knew his subject. He studied children. He studied books. He studied what children were going through. He studied parenting, and he studied all those different things. And he was the subject matter expert. And that's what makes a great author. So if you think of some of your authors and some of these stories that you talked about, they're the subject matter expert on whatever that is. Dr. Seuss was a subject matter expert on children. How many of you know that there's a subject matter expert on us that's written a book about us? It says some things about us. Who's that? I see you guys shaking your head. Who's that? Who? God. You can talk to me. This is a two-way thing. You can talk. That's right. That's God. And did you know that even more than the weeks and the months and the years that Dr. Seuss did his research before he wrote his books? You know, God was thinking about you weeks and months and years and decades and centuries before you were ever born. How do I know that? It says so in the Bible. It says this in Psalms 139.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. I was not hidden from you. Before you ever saw me, before you ever knew me, I was not hidden from you. And that's good news this morning. We're never hidden from God. Goes on to say that your eyes saw my unformed body. This is my favorite part. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So God knew everything about you before you were ever born. He knew that you were going to have dark hair. He knew that you were going to have light hair. He knew that you were going to grow up to be a rock star. And he knew that you were going to grow up to be a pastor. And he knew that you were going to grow up to be a writer. And that's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome God we serve. So, but before we start getting into more about what God says about our story, what story would you write about yourself? What would you write? What would you be? I bet a lot of you guys probably would be a star athlete, right? The next Michael Jordan. A youth pastor. Awesome. A lot of you guys would probably be a musician. Right? Maybe like some of the musicians that were up here today. Maybe you'd be a doctor. Maybe you'd be a businessman. Maybe you'd be a mom. Whatever it is, all those things are awesome and all those things are great. But that's not the end of it. That's just the start of it. So where do you think those desires came from? They came from God. And so those things that are inside of you that you go, man, I don't know why. I just love going outside and shooting hoops all day. I just love playing my guitar. I just love singing. I just love writing. I just love reading. I just love running. Whatever it is, God's placed those inside of you, and he has a purpose for those. And so what our place in that is, find out where that purpose is. Find out what it is. Find out how it fits. You know, oftentimes we want to write our own story. And I know for me, you know, at one point in my life, I thought I had it figured out. My whole life, I was the athlete. I played sports. I was the, you know, Little League, you know, MVP of T-ball. I was, little dribblers, you know, all-star team, all that kind of stuff, all through elementary, all through middle school, all throughout high school. That was me. Whenever you heard the word Donnie, you would think quarterback. You would think pitcher. You would think point guard. That's what you thought. And so that's, you know, I got in this mindset of thinking that that's who I was. You know, I was supposed to grow up and be that so that people could continue to say, oh, look at Donnie. Man, he's the all-star. Man, look at Donnie. He's all-state. All those things. But I just want to tell you a little story about my college football career, and we'll move quickly through this. I was recruited out of high school to play football at a smaller Christian college just south of Dallas. The coach had recruited me, wanted me. He was one of the couple schools that had came and visited at my house and, you know, talked with my parents and brought a jersey of what, you know, this could be your jersey. All those awesome, awesome things. But see, once I got into college, the story went a little bit different than what I thought. You know, when I got into college in my freshman year, I ended up hurting myself. First rattle out of the box, during 2-a-days, hurt my ankle. Didn't play for 3 or 4 weeks. You know, and I thought, hey, God, maybe you're trying to show me something. Maybe you're trying to teach me something. And I did have faith for that. I knew that God was up to something. I didn't know what, but I knew he was up to something. And so from there, I ended up moving over from offense to defense. Somebody had gotten hurt on the defensive side, and the coach said, hey, I see that you were all-state defensive back. You know, I know we recruited you in as receiver, but we want you to play defense. We want to see how you do. Well, I said, all right, coach, whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, wherever I fit in, I want to do it. I want to hit the field. You know, I want to start playing. I want to start getting stats. I want to start doing this thing that I knew that I was supposed to be doing. Well, 2 games later, Petty, you're starting. Wow, man, God, you're awesome. That quick, I'm already starting. I'm already out there on the field. They're already calling my name. You know, there's, you know, cheerleaders with my number, you know, painted on their face, and, you know, people wearing my jersey and, you know, clapping for me and all these kind of things. And it was awesome. I thought, I've arrived. Well, a couple games went by, and the end of the season went, and I ended up having a pretty good freshman year. I was co-runner-up for freshman of the year, and, man, I thought, man, can't wait till we get back next year. It's on. I'm going to be All-American. I'm going to do all these things. Sophomore year came around, didn't get much playing time. Had some coaching changes, just never really fit in quite where I thought I was going to fit in. And I said, man, God, you got to help me. I've got all these plans. I've got all these desires. You know, I want to be a star. You know, I want to have my name in the paper. I want to have pictures on the internet, and, you know, I want to try and go to the NFL, all these things, right? I'm thinking in my head. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And the thing about it is it didn't happen because my dreams were in the wrong place, and because the talents that God had given me and the giftings and the athleticism that he had given me, it's not because I was doing the wrong thing. I had the wrong motives. I was trying to write my own story. I was trying to live my own story. So here we are, my senior year. Still haven't really done all the things that I wanted to do. Still haven't got, you know, the accolades. Wasn't voted All-American. Only started a few games here and there. And by this time, God had really gotten a hold of me. And he had begun teaching me that his plan and his purpose for our life, it's above our purpose, right? The Bible says that his thoughts are above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. And the desires and the giftings that he had given me, I was wanting to use them for me. I wasn't wanting to use it for him. And, you know, so you might say, well, man, God was holding back on you. No. God's never holding back on us. He's always wanting to bless us. He's always wanting to give us the desires of our hearts. But it's whenever we step into what his desires are for us, and we allow him to write our story. So fast forward all the way to the last home game of my senior year. I got family there, came from all around Texas. My grandparents there, who were, man, 87, 88 at the time, their only game they had seen since I was in high school was that game. And I'd started throughout my senior year, I'd started Bible studies within the football team. You know, at Christian schools, oftentimes, unfortunately, the athletic programs sometimes are the bad guys, if you will. Shouldn't be that way, but that's just kind of the rap that they get. And so I wanted to turn that around. So me and a couple friends of mine, we started having Bible studies. You know, we started having some of the team, we started trying to go to church as a team. We started having late-night prayer groups. We started praying for our team. We started getting up early in the mornings and praying for our athletic department to get radically changed and just have just a revival. And throughout that time, God was really working on me and showing me that I needed to have faith in his plan, because my plan wasn't that far off from his plan, but who was getting the glory was where the rub was. So my senior year, senior day, family there, I get put in at the end of the game. At halftime, coach had said, in this one of the proudest moments of my life, and God knew exactly what I needed in that day. And my coach at halftime, you know, well, you know, George was a great, you know, quarterback, and, you know, Jimmy was this, and he's, you know, graduating now. And it came to me, and coach said, you know, Donnie, his career probably didn't go quite how he expected it to. He came in highly recruited. He came in probably with expectations of being a great athlete and a star and with all these stats and rewriting the records books, all these things. But it didn't happen. And he said, but something far greater than that happened. He said, Donnie matured into the epitome of what a leader looks like. He said, Donnie has been instrumental in revolutionizing this program. My senior year, we had the best record we'd had, and it wasn't because we had the best athletes. It was because God was moving in that place, and people were surrendering their hearts to the Lord. And I wish I could say that I had something to do with it, but all I did was just surrender to God, and I said, God, whatever you have for me, I want it. If I'm just supposed to be second string and just lead people to the Lord, then that's what I want. And you know what? God brought those things about. He brought the people to the Lord, and through his faithfulness, through what he had spoken to me, I became that great leader that I wanted to be. But it wasn't about me getting the accolades because I had had this stat and that stat. It was for being a man of integrity. It was for being a man of character. It was for being a man that looked at God and said, God, whatever you've said about me, that's what I want. And in the midst of all that, God still gives us. He doesn't just give us what we need. He gives us what we want. So the last quarter, at the end of the game, I'm on defense. I intercept the pass in our own end zone. And for those of you who know the football, that's a long way from this end zone to the other end zone. Well, I run it back, score a touchdown. And the first person I see is my coach. And he's grinning from ear to ear. And he said, that's what happens when you're faithful to God. And let me tell you, man, I will never doubt why God gives us gifts. And it's not for our glory, it's for his. Amen. So you might be asking, hey, Donnie, that's great. You know, your story sounds cool, and, you know, you figured it out, and, you know, now we see how God can, you know, turn those things around when you put your faith in him. So what about me? How do I find out how do I find out how my giftings that the Lord has given me fits? How do I go from being, you know, Jimmy the guitar player or Susie the writer, or whatever it is that you have desires in your heart for? How do I take that and how do I change the kingdom? It's actually pretty simple. And this is number two in your notes if you're taking notes. Number one was this. You have a God-given destiny and a God-written story. So number two is this. Ask in faith. In faith. Don't just ask. Ask in faith. And then faith it out. You see, when we step out in faith, we receive God's grace for our story. It then goes from being a fable, just fiction, just, man, God, you know, you've called me to this. That sounds great. That sounds like a great story. But I don't know, God. Don't you know where I'm from? Don't you know where I live? Don't you know what my parents do for a living? I don't know about all that. But when we receive it by faith, God gives us the grace to walk it out. And it becomes not just fiction, it becomes fact. Because who knows, if God said it, then I can do it. If God said it, then we're going to take hold of it. So, you know, as I was also reading in Oh, the Places You'll Go, there's a place in the book that kind of struck me a little bit weird. It's called The Waiting Place. And I'm not going to read, I'm not going to go into it. But Dr. Seuss talks about a waiting room. Of people waiting for a train to come, waiting for a plane to come, waiting for a fish to bite, waiting for an appointment to start, you know, waiting for the toaster to pop up, all those things, right? And a lot of you are probably going, man, that feels like me. I'm waiting to get out of high school so I can get into college and start doing the things that God's called me to do. But let me tell you something. There's no such thing as a waiting room with God. There's no such thing as a time of just sitting around waiting. You guys are in assignment right now. Those desires that he's put in your heart to be a doctor, well, what do you think you have to do to get into med school? Grades. So what do you do now? Man, you are faithful in your academics. You're faithful in your studying. If you feel like you're supposed to be an athlete and go off to college or high school and do all those things, what do you think you should be doing now? Be faithful to your coaches. If they ask you to do something, do it. If your parents ask you to do something, do it. There's honor that comes from the Lord whenever we honor what our parents and what our teachers and our coaches and our pastors say. But we can't just do it on our own. We have to faith it out. We have to ask in faith, and then we have to walk it out in faith. Because how many of you know we stumble just in our flesh, right? But it's not about stumbling. It's about getting back up. And that's all God wants us to do, is to get back up. Because if you can get back up, then God can use you. If you can stop looking at yourself and looking at the things that you can or can't do, or the things that people have said about you, how you don't look like, you know, the girl in the magazine, how you don't sound like, you know, the girl on the music awards, how you don't play football like the guy on TV. None of that stuff matters. Because it doesn't matter what the world says about you. It matters what God says about you. And the cool thing about it, you've got a whole book of promises that God has said about you and about us. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love Him. But God has revealed it by His Spirit." So how do you seek it out? How do you find God's story for you? We already learned earlier that it's already been written. You remember that in Psalms 139? "All the days ordained for me before they ever came to pass." Well, since that's true, we need to faith it out. And that's where it starts and that's where it ends. There might be some things that you have to do along the way to, you know, make sure that you're staying in that. But man, ask God to help you with that. He's going to. Matthew 7 says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Those are guarantees. Do you understand that? Those are guarantees. It doesn't say, if you knock just right, the door will be opened. It doesn't say, whoever asks really, really nicely receives. It says, knock, and the door will be opened. But it's all about having the right mindset of Christ in us. It's not us doing it. It's Christ in us. And you know, the Lord doesn't hide His plan. A lot of you are probably going, man, I'm ready to get going. You know, come on, God, tell me what to do. Tell me how to do it. He doesn't hide His plan. He doesn't. If we just seek His face and seek His presence, God will speak to us. He will. The Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you and leading you to do the exact same things that Jesus did. You know, sometimes, though, God doesn't always reveal it all at once. And why do you think that is? Man, that seems kind of crazy, right? Donnie, I thought you said that God isn't far off. I thought you said He speaks to us. He does. But here's what God wants you to seek. He wants you to seek His face, not just His hand. He wants you to seek His word, not just His blessing. So God gives you the next step of the assignment so that you stay in His face saying, all right, God, what's up? What's on the docket for today? What are we doing today? God, who am I supposed to witness to today? Who am I supposed to talk to about You today? Who in my class? Which one of my teachers? Who in my family? You know, a lot of you probably are going, man, how do I witness to my sister and how do I witness to my brother? Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Because God is faithful to do that. He said it. If you ask, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open to you. Often God tells us just enough so that we have to keep running back to Him. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to seek His face and seek His word more than seeking a destiny or a plan or a story. Because if, as we talked about earlier, I had my plan, I had my destiny. I was supposed to be this athlete and this star. But see, I had it wrong. I was seeking the destiny. I was seeking the plan more than I was seeking His face, more than I was seeking what His purpose was for that. And it got me off base. But you know, God is so faithful. He is always faithful. You know, I also had a plan and a destiny and a vision for what my wife would look like. And in case you guys missed it, my wife was Dara McLean Petty, the one up here on stage, my beautiful wife, who, man, just believes in me, loves me. And let me tell you guys, there's a woman out there that God has made just for you. And it's in God's timing. And I'm not saying that you don't know who that is or that, you know, you can't figure that out. But what I'm saying is seek God's timing, seek God's face, and He'll bring it about. You know, I thought I learned from the football experience. I thought I learned, God, You've given me these desires. You've given me these visions of what's to come and what my wife is supposed to look like. And so, man, I was going everywhere I could trying to make that story happen. I had my pen and paper in hand going, are you it? Hey, you it? Nope. And it's funny, but man, there for a while it was painful. And it wasn't because God was trying to hide there from me. It had nothing to do with that at all. It had to do with me seeking his face first and not seeking his blessing. You know, and that's not to say that there weren't, you know, girls along the way. You know, it's not like every girl I walk up to just gave me one of these to the face and, you know, said, get out of here. It wasn't that. But, you know, oftentimes whenever we're not trusting God and putting our faith in what he said about us and resting on that and walking it out from that place, sometimes we can miss it a little bit. And, you know, I still remember, and you know, Reuben was my friend. Reuben was my roommate at the time about a year and a half ago. And there was, you know, this pastor's daughter and, you know, this person, that person, and, you know, it always seemed right. In the natural, it seemed right. But each time God said, this isn't your wife. And so I got to a place where I said, man, you know what, God, enough is enough. I'm tired of looking. I'm trying to make this thing happen on my own. I'm tired of seeking. I'm tired of looking. And it wasn't that God, again, it's almost like this. God wants to give us the desires of our hearts, right? Does everybody know that? Can we get an idea? Yes, God wants us to give us the desires of our heart. How many of us have a desire to have a Lamborghini to drive? Hopefully more than that. Ferrari, Mustang, a truck, there we go. A Jeep, there we go. All right. So it's like this. God wants to give us that. Just imagine this for a second. God has the keys to that brand new Jeep, that brand new truck with the big tires and the loud exhaust and all that kind of stuff. He has the keys to it, and he's ready to give it to us. But he's not going to give us the keys if we're going to drive it off a cliff. God's a good father. He's a faithful father. He's not going to give us something that we can't handle. He's not going to give us something that we don't know what to do with or that might end in our destruction. And it wasn't until I was laying in my bathroom, in my shower, crying out to God, saying, God, man, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long it takes or where I meet her or how it happens. I know you have a wife for me because I know what you've said about me in your book. I know it. So I'm just going to, God, I'm going to faith it out. Just like number two, ask for it in faith and then faith it out. I asked God in faith. I said, God, I know that you have a wife out there for me. I know that she's beautiful. I know that she loves you. I know that she's, you know, holding out for me. I know that she's all these things, right? List 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way to 40 or 50. You know, thankfully, God gives us exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or hope for. And I think there's not enough ink and all the pens in the world to write all the amazing things that he gave me, my wife. And it's not just for me, guys. It's for you in every area of your life. Every area of your life. Amen. Amen. So you might be saying, hey, that's awesome. So, you know, we got it. We're with you. You know, be faithful where we're at. You know, be a good student. You know, honor our mother and father. You know, try and, you know, live the life that God's called us to. But man, that can get tough sometimes, and you're right. In our flesh, it is tough. It is tough to hold out waiting to, you know, be up on stage and lead worship. It's tough to not have that position on the basketball team, football team, that you know that God's placed a desire in your heart to do. It's tough. But how many of you know that God's word is faithful? And he's always faithful. And he's going to bring it full circle if we just put our faith in his faithfulness and not in our abilities, not in how good we've been for the past 3 weeks or how hard we've been studying. All those things are right and great. But how many of you know, man, you're going to make a C on a test every now and then. It's not about what we can do. It's about who's living inside of us. What does it say? Greater is in, what is it? Greater is in he that is in the world, right? So if that's true, then, man, that's where it starts. So it sounds pretty easy.
It sounds good on paper, right? Sounds good. But it's not always that easy. Because how many of you know there's an enemy that just like the enemy would try and put sickness and put disease and all those kind of things that are trying to attack this body and these people that are bound and broken, he's trying to get your mind off of the plan of God. He's trying to get you to pick up the pen and start penciling yourself in and start penciling in the things that you think you're supposed to be doing and the ways that you think you're supposed to be doing it. So you got to do this. And I love what Peter says. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What does that mean? That's whenever you're in here living for God. You know, you're coming every Wednesday night. You're going to church. You're reading your Bible. You're doing all these things. And that person makes up a story about you at school, about how you did this or how you did that. It's tough. So what do you do? You know that that's going to happen. Why? Because the Bible says it. But guess what? Just because the enemy's out there doesn't mean that he has any rule or any effect over what you do with what God's placed inside of you. If God's faithful, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. If you know that God's your healer, it doesn't matter that you have the flu. Because if he said that he's your healer, then he is. So ask for it in faith and receive it. Just like we did earlier today. We exercised our faith. We spoke the word. We heard it. We by faith spoke what he said about us, and we've received. And we believe that all those things that we prayed about are done in Jesus' name. So they're behind us. All those plans are thwarted. Number three is this. Remind yourself of his faithfulness. Remind yourself of his faithfulness. You know, it's really easy sometimes in life, and man, the issue with looking to anybody to write your story except God is there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of things out there that the enemy can use to try and to get you off track and to have you start speaking these things in your mind and speaking these things within yourself that are contrary to what God says. And if something's contrary to what God says, what is it? It's a lie. It's a lie. So why would we ever believe a lie? Who's the author of lies? The devil. So if something is against what God says, it's a lie. The author of lies is the enemy. So why would we ever believe what he says? Remind yourself of his faithfulness. In those times where you feel like, man, I got it wrong. I can't measure up. You're right. Without Jesus, we can't. And thank God that he's given us his spirit to do those things. Remind yourself of his faithfulness. Galatians 6:9 says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So remember what he said about you, that you're more than a conqueror, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No sickness can come against you. What does the Bible say? We can be bitten by snakes and the poison will not affect us. Man, that's awesome. Especially out here, if you've ever walked around or living in Texas, man, I think God wrote that to Texans. Remind yourself often. Numbers 23:19 says this, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" Again, faithful. God's word is faithful. It will always come to pass. Not because of what we do, but because of what he said. God is not a man that he could lie. He's not a man that he could lie. If I can have the musicians come up. You see, it's not going to be by your own power. So for those of you that are thinking, what I want you all to do is do this. Think through what the desires of your hearts are. I want you to think about that. Some of you, you've known what that looks like since the time you were little. Some of you guys, maybe things are getting dropped in your heart that you've never heard before. Maybe some of you are hearing youth pastor. Maybe some of you are hearing missionary. Maybe some of you are hearing congressman. And maybe some of you are hearing attorney. And maybe some of you are hearing a dance instructor. Whatever that is.
Those things are put there for a reason. It's for God's glory, and it's to reconcile the world to Him. The Bible says that that is our calling, to reconcile the world back to Jesus. The Bible says that we're ambassadors of Jesus. And what does that mean? That means that God is making a plea through us to the rest of the world to draw His children back to Him. That's what all this is about. That's what my athletic ability was about. That's what the gift was for. It wasn't for me. It was for God. These musicians and these worship leaders, their beautiful voices and their ability to strum the guitar and play the keys and play the drums, man, it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with God. It has to do with leading people to Jesus. And if we can't grab hold of it, if we can't ask in faith, and if we don't ask in faith, then we can't receive. Just like whenever I ask God, God, I know You've called me to have an amazing wife. I know there's things that we're called to do together, but God, where is she? You see, I missed it. I was just wanting a wife. I wasn't wanting the calling that He was going to use with me and my wife. Remind yourself of His faithfulness. Whenever the world tells you otherwise, remind yourself of His faithfulness. Remind yourself that if God has said it, then you can do it. You know, maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't. I want you guys all to look at your fingers. Did you know that your fingerprints, there's not a single one in the world that's exactly like it? Think about that for a second. There's 7 billion-ish people in the world right now. But think about all the people from the beginning of time. Think about all the people until the end of time. There hasn't been a single fingerprint that looks like yours. So why would you ever hold yourself up to somebody else's standard? Why would you say, well, man, I don't sing like him. I don't sing like her. Man, I can't play the guitar like him. I can't play the guitar like her. You know, I can't dance like this person. You know, I can't play sports like this person. I don't preach like that person. It's not about what the world says. It's not even about what you say. It's about what God says. You see, the perfect example of that principle is Jesus. You know, as I was talking with my father-in-law the other night, great man of God, we were talking about Jesus and how He was not moved. He wasn't going to be changed. He wasn't going to be swayed by what the world said, by what people did. Think about this. He was sent by God, even though He was God, sent by God to save the world. What a calling. But think about what happened whenever He was in front of Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate is asking people, what should I do with them? And the people yelled, crucify Him! Crucify Him! Whenever the same people, days before, laid down palm leaves on the ground. They worshiped Him, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Glory be to God! And so I thought about that. And I think if Jesus, which we know he was all man and He was all God, but He had His eyes focused firmly ahead on His task. He had his eyes fixed firmly on the story that God had written for Him and about Him. And He wasn't going to be swayed by what people said. Because I'll tell you what would have been easy for Jesus to do. Is when He heard, crucify Him, crucify Him. Man, crucify me. Don't you know what I came here to do? I've been healing people. I came so that you would have life and life everlasting. You know what? I don't want to die for you. You know, God, let's just put this whole cross thing on hold. Let's figure out another way. These people aren't worth it. And so then on the other side, I imagine Jesus having the opportunity to hear people saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, you're so great, King, King of Kings. And him to say, man, this feels pretty awesome. Man, people are saying that I'm great and I'm mighty and I'm the Messiah. Man, this feels awesome. You know what? I think I'll stick around for a little bit longer. Hey, God, can we just pause the cross? I want to enjoy that a little bit more. But no, Jesus wasn't swayed. He wasn't concerned about what people said because he knew about what God said. And he knew his purpose. And so, young man, young woman, don't be moved by what people say. If you don't sound like somebody else that sings on the radio, so what? Keep singing. If God's placed it in your heart, then he's faithful to bring it to pass, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's not on stage. Maybe it's not in front of thousands of people. Maybe it's not being a worship leader. Young man, if you don't play like you think you should play and you look and say, God, I know I'm supposed to play sports and I don't know why, but I can't get out of my blood. I can't get it out of my system. Don't worry about what the world says. Think about what God says. Let him write your story. There's a reason that God's placed that inside of you. It's to lead others to him. See, Jesus knew what his story was to be. To the point that the Bible says he counted it joy. Think about that for a minute. Crucify him. Hosanna. None of that mattered to Jesus because he knew what his purpose was. He knew what God had said about him. He knew what the story that God had written for him. And there's a story like that for every one of you. And I challenge you today, young person, to not look at what the world would say, to not look at what your friends might say, even some of you, what your family would say, not what TV would say or Hollywood would say. None of that matters. Grab that book. Grab that book. I just want you to think about this. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne. You see, we have to understand what our identity is in Christ. Jesus knew that. He knew what his identity was. He knew his story. And you see, if we allow God to write our story, that's the best story. That way, whether people praise us for how great we are, how right we get it, or how wrong we get it, none of that matters to God. So no matter where you're at, if you're a pastor's kid or a plumber's kid, it doesn't matter. There's a calling for you within that. So if you're called to be a plumber, then man, praise Jesus the whole way. Because there's people in your life that I can't talk to. There's people in your life that I'm not going to be able to speak to, that none of us in this room can speak to except you. And that's the greatest calling of all. Whatever your realm of influence, whatever your circle of influence, that's where God's called you to be. And it's the best plan. Remember what we read earlier? That your plan, that your days have already been ordained far before you were born. See, before you even came into this world, your story was written before there was even a single letter on your page that you thought you could write. I'm going to close with this. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future." You see, I don't know if you know who Jeremiah was, but he ended up being king. And do you know whenever the Lord spoke this to him? Does anybody know how old he was? He was 16, 17. I'm not a Bible scholar enough to know, but I'm sure somebody has probably figured it out pretty close. That's incredible. So whenever you think about the things that you know God's placed inside of you and you think, man, that's too great, that's too big. I'm just in high school. You know, I'm just going about having fun. You know, I can't wait to get my driver's license. You know, I can't wait to, you know, be old enough so my parents will let me date. I can't wait to get out of my parents' house. All those things. Jeremiah was the same age, but he took hold of what God said. Because he knew that if God spoke it to him, then it was for him, and he could do it. And so this is what the Lord's saying to you, young person, today. Prophetically, I'm speaking this over you. The Lord said to me, this is Jeremiah speaking, and this is all of us speaking. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you, says the Lord. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms. Does that mean for you that you're going to be a king or a president? I believe maybe we do have a couple of those in here. If that's what God's called you to, then I believe that he's going to bring it to pass. But for us, our nation and our kingdom, that's our place of business. That's our home. That's our friends. That's our family. That's our church. And God's put us in authority over those things. He goes on to say, to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And that, young person, is what your story is all about. So whatever it looks like, it doesn't matter, because that's what your story is. It might be written in different colored ink than your friends. It might have a different font than your friends. But guess what? The end is the same. We have the same purpose. And the most amazing thing in the world is that we're not doing it alone. And we're not even doing it by our own power. We're doing it by the same power that raised Christ from the dead is living inside of you. So this is what we're going to do, young person. We're going to continue to exercise our faith today. We're going to continue to prophetically speak out of our mouth over our situations, over our lives, and over our story. So I want you guys all to stand up. This is what we're going to do. We're going to believe what God said about Jeremiah, and we're going to speak that over ourselves. So this is really simple. I want you to think about whatever desires, whatever dreams, whatever giftings you have in your heart. I want you to think about those right now, just for a moment. And as we pray this prayer, I want you to think about that thing and how God is going to faithfully, through the grace of God, lead you down that path. And lead you down your story, word by word, sentence by sentence, chapter by chapter, until the day that he returns. So you'll bow your hearts and just repeat this prayer after me. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you have plans for me. Oh no, I want you to say it like you believe it. I want you to say it like God has said it. These aren't just words that I typed out or wrote down. These are straight from the mouth of God. I want you to say it like you believe it. I want you to take it by faith. We're speaking prophetically. And see, whenever you speak prophetically, you don't speak prophetically and hope that it's going to come to pass. No, because if we ask, what did the Bible say? If we ask, we will find. If we knock, it will be open to us. So when we speak, we expect. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to start back over. And I want you to say it like your friend's life depends on it. I want you to say it like the people that you're called to, life depends on it. Because without God in our midst, we just got a pen with no ink. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you have plans for me. Great plans. Plans to prosper me. Not to harm me. Plans to give me a hope. And plans to give me a future. I put my faith in your faithfulness. Let's say that one more time. I put my faith in your faithfulness. Give me dreams. Give me desires. Give me a vision of what my calling is. I receive it now by faith. Lord, I am yours. Use me as you would. I grant you full access to my life. Access to my heart. And access to write my story. As only you can. Amen and amen. Can we just give the Lord a praise offering in this place for what he said about us, for what he's doing inside of us?